What is the only real hope of America today? It is a spiritual awakening that will become a moral and cultural awakening. And where does it start? It starts in prayer.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I believe that God will send another awakening to America. I do not believe it is all over for our country. We don't know. Obviously, we don't know the time of Jesus' return. There can be all kinds of speculation, and some could say it could be any minute. Others say it could be decades off or centuries off. What we do know is we have to work while we have light. We have to be obedient in the time in which we live. We are responsible for our lifetimes before God, and then to prepare the way for the generation to come. I don't believe it's all over for America. There may be great judgment, great shaking, great upheaval, but I believe, I'm just telling you what I believe, that there is another awakening coming, that God will have mercy on his bride, on the messianic congregation, on the church. He will have mercy. And as he pours out mercy, there will be awakening, and that awakening will impact society. I believe it. I can't prove it. I can't guarantee it. I believe it. And prayer will be at the heart and center of it. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call to get involved in the conversation, to add in your two cents, to add in the word of edification or encouragement. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. On our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, let me tell you what I want to do on the program today, and I believe your hearts will be deeply stirred. First, I'm going to be like a doctor who, before he sets a bone, has to maybe hurt a little bit, or has to do a little surgery, cut open a little bit, and dig a little bit and get some bad stuff out with the goal of stitching you back up so you'll be healed and whole. I want to press home again the urgent hour in which we live. I want to press home again the intensity of our current moral crisis in America and in the church, and why we so desperately need awakening, why a new church growth program isn't going to do it, while the latest teaching is not going to do it, why the latest fad isn't going to do it, that it is revival or else. I felt that way many times in my life in the Lord in these last 40 years as a believer, and yet there are times when it is overwhelmingly intense. This is one of those. In fact, to me, this is the most critical time morally that I have ever seen in my own lifetime. It's difficult to look back on the past and say exactly what it was like to live in America at different times in our history, but I can tell you right now, this is the most critical moment I've ever seen, both in the church and in society in America. I believe awakening will come. There are signs of stirring. There are signs of desperation. There are signs of people recognizing that things must change. The cry going up to heaven is deepening and intensifying. So I want to lay out for a few minutes the critical nature of the situation we find ourselves in today. Lay out some things that are shocking, that are painful, but that are true. And then encourage your hearts with promises of awakening, encouraging our heart with history. As we talk about the role of prayer in past awakenings, past revivals, I am an eyewitness to revival movements. I mean bona fide outpourings of the Spirit that have lasted weeks or months or years, that brought deep repentance, that brought transformation that was so powerful that it has lasted now for several decades, that impacted people so radically that they are radically changed until this day. I am an eyewitness. I have been involved in the front lines of such moves of the Spirit and have seen the lasting fruit and know that in a moment of time, God can do more in times of awakening than in our years of best efforts. So prepare to be encouraged, prepare to be inspired, prepare to be challenged today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, time to sound the alarm and then give you encouragement. I'm going to sound the alarm for a few minutes. I'm going to remind you about the situation in which we find ourselves. Revival does not come just as an option. True outpouring, true awakening, when God really visits his people and brings transformation, that does not come when we snap our fingers and, let's try this. No, it comes to those who are hungry, to those who are thirsty, to those who are desperate, to those who recognize that something is terribly wrong, to those who recognize that there must be more, to those who study the scriptures and are convinced that there are things God has promised to do that we are not seeing. Revival comes to those who realize there is no other alternative. So I want to sound the alarm, and I want to encourage you with faith that awakening will come, that God will hear the cries of his people, and that prayer, something every one of us can do, prayer will make the difference. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I don't have a hot, controversial question for you today, because I'm not just trying to get you to call in and give your opinion. But if you've got something edifying, encouraging to add in, we'll take some calls as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Or you can weigh in online on our Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown. It's Ask Dr. Brown. Okay. I did not ask for the assignment to tackle homosexual issues. It's never a major thing on my horizon. I've preached about sexual purity in the body and the breakdown of the family and things like that from a heterosexual perspective. Many of you know that back in 2004, God began to burden me, and the clear word I got in early 2005, reach out and resist. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. Resist gay activism with courage. All right. Where have things gone now, even in these last few years? Well, for the first time, a Gallup poll has indicated, and again, it's the way questions are asked as well, but a Gallup poll has indicated that a majority of Americans support, quote, gay marriage. A recent Gallup poll, this is May 22nd, shows 53% of Americans supporting gay marriage, making gay marriage legal, Reuters reports. The poll shows a significant change in mood on the issue from a year ago, when an equal majority opposed same-sex matrimony. Now, I could go on with the breakdown of those stats. I'm not in the least bit surprised. In fact, I'm surprised that it's not tilted even more in this direction because of the overwhelming bombardment that we get from the media about this just about every single day. In movies, in TV, dramas, sitcoms, through newscasts, and on and on. The New York Times publishing a series of articles of stories of teens coming out in their own words. The It Gets Better campaign. Come on. Millions and millions of Americans, whether it was in the NBA playoffs, during the NBA playoffs, or perhaps during American Idol, I don't know exactly when it aired, but this aired, It Gets Better. An ad encouraging teenagers and young people that are struggling with their same-sex attractions, and hey, hang in there. It's going to get better. You come out, you be bold, you be strong. We suffered the way you did, and it gets better as you get older, and society accepts you, and you accept yourself. And there's even Woody from Toy Story, Pixar, animated character coming on saying it gets better. I mean, little children relate to Woody. It's primetime television. Millions and millions of Americans seeing encouragement to young homosexual men and women, teenagers, preteens. It gets better. Come out. Be yourself. Anna, do you realize what that means in terms of this airing freely in our society? Joe Salmanese, the president of the Human Rights Campaign, which is falsely and should be the Homosexual Rights Campaign, points out changes taking place in the world of sports. New York Rangers forward Sean Avery, a guy more known for Hard Knocks than Big Causes, came out in support of marriage for committed gay and lesbian couples in New York earlier this month. A professional athlete taking a very public stand in an arena too many in sports traditionally avoid. He goes on with, this isn't just a story on the ice. Last month, David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, fined Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant after he unleashed a slur In other words, calling him F-A-G-G-O-T, calling a referee by that name. I don't say the word because some get offended, so I'm going to say it. Brian immediately and graciously apologized. So on, Stern's swift action underscored the new reality. Professional athletes are role models and simply can't be permitted to utter hate speech under any circumstances, and being anti-gay is not good for business. There's a reason why 89% of Fortune 500 companies prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. All on our watch, friends. All this happening on our watch. The owner of the Phoenix Suns NBA team came out as gay and has just been getting lots of good, encouraging comments from people and proud of you and we're glad you came out, etc. By all means, we shouldn't be hating people because they identify as homosexual or threatening them. But simply, we're being told that you can have no moral objection to it. You can have no moral objection to same-sex marriage without being a hate-filled bigot. You can have no moral objection to homosexual practice without being a hate-filled bigot. And it's bad business if you try. You will pay the price. You will pay the price. Can I tell you honestly, friends, that I have been told by ministry colleagues who support what we're doing that to take the stand we're taking is, quote, ministry suicide? Can I tell you how people are running from this? You know, the difficulty we had in getting my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, published, we ultimately had to self-publish the book because of the fact that no major publisher would touch us. And we had publishers say, I think it's going to be a great book, but we don't dare touch it because it would be too costly for us. Bookstores would boycott our other books. We'd lose authors. This is what we're dealing with. And look, everybody cares about kids, right? Everybody cares about kids. I'm sounding the alarm, then I'm going to encourage because I believe God, by his Spirit, will bring an awakening, and I believe the awakening will affect the moral climate of America. In the natural, it's impossible. In the natural, it's impossible, but I believe God. My trust is not in what people can do. My trust is in the promises of God. How about this story from a gay activist on a gay activist website? And he explains this. He says, you bet we're trying to indoctrinate your kids. This is what he says, and I'm not putting a link up because it goes on. When I printed up, started reading, it's very vulgar at parts, so I'm not just going to read the beginning. Can we please just start admitting that we do actually want to indoctrinate kids? He says, you better believe. We want educators to teach future generations of children to accept queer sexuality. This is Daniel Villarreal in Queerty.com. In fact, our very future depends on it. He says, why would we push anti-bullying programs or social studies classes that teach kids about the historical contribution of famous queers unless we wanted to deliberately educate children to accept queer sexuality as normal? He's saying, you better believe we want to indoctrinate your kids. Of course. If you have any question, get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Read chapter 3 about teaching gay is good in our children's schools. Oh, hang on. There's more. There's more. Big story that's all over the news these days in Canada. Parents keep child's gender secret. They've got a kid named Storm, obviously by naming the kid Storm, theoretically. And the other kids' names are Jazz and Keo. So theoretically, you don't know if it's a boy or girl based on the name, right? It's a gender-neutral name. They're not saying their kid's 4 months old. They know the gender. There's no ambiguity about the child's gender physically, but they don't know if the child's going to grow up to feel like they're a boy or a girl. So they're going to not tell anyone what the gender is and wait until they start to see certain behavior patterns and then decide maybe this is a girl packaged in a boy's body or a boy packaged in a girl's body or a gender-neutral child packaged in a boy or girl's body or maybe one that has multiple identities. This is actually happening, friends. And Newsweek asked the question, and I report all this in my book, are we heading towards a genderless future? Others say two genders are not enough. We are increasingly stepping into moral, social insanity. We are increasingly stepping into a crisis where the very foundations of human life, male and female, come under attack. It's happening on our watch. And there is no social or political solution alone. Oh, by all means, get involved politically. By all means, get involved in your schools. By all means, get involved in every aspect of society you can as a witness for Jesus. But in the natural, things have gone too far. Chicago Bulls star Joakim Noah gets angry at a fan that's been harassing him, uses, I guess, the same gay slur and gets a $50,000 fine, immediately apologizes and says, look, that's not who I am. I'm open-minded. Why must he be open-minded? Where is the rule that you have to be open-minded about homosexual practice? Yeah, don't call somebody names. Don't use a slur that's insulting. Of course, don't do that. You're an athlete, you're a role model, whatever. In the heat of the game, still got to watch your tongue. But you don't have to explain to everybody you're open-minded. Oh, today you do. Today you do. The die has been cast. We need an awakening. The good news is God hears the cries of his people. The good news is at times past in our history, as we have come to the end of ourselves in America and in other countries and have earnestly sought the face of the Lord and have pleaded with him to pour out mercy, he has poured out mercy and it has brought transformation. So I want to come back and talk to you about awakening and prayer and the promises of God. And I'm going to play some clips of children praying that will pierce you to your heart. We'll take your calls too. All that when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, we've got to be truthful. We can't stick our heads in the sand, nor can we have the mentality of the sky is falling. We have to recognize the urgent day in which we live. We have to recognize the urgent moral crisis in which we live, which has often been where the church finds itself in history. And was the case in New Testament times in many ways. We have to recognize that, and then it helps us to walk wisely, to redeem the time, as Paul writes in Ephesians 5, in these evil days, and to seek God earnestly, lest we be complacent and self-content. If our own life happens to be going pretty well at the moment, the issues are much greater, which is why we must have an awakening. The problem in America, as I've said many times, is not so much the presence of darkness, but the absence of light. The awakening begins with us, God's people. From there, it spreads into the society through the conversion of sinners, through the return of backsliders, through the awakening of the conscience of the nation. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, serving by God's grace, is a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, which cannot happen without awakening. It cannot happen without awakening. But with awakening, all things are possible. Online, AskDrBrown.org. By the way, we have resources that tie in directly with today's subject that would really be of help to you. List it at AskDrBrown.org if you click on the Line of Fire. Okay, let me encourage you. There have been times in American history that have been very dark, unique in certain ways in terms of what we're dealing with today, but there were other unique things that were being dealt with at other times in our history when we were far from, quote, Christian. I'm talking about major backsliding. I'm talking about major apostasy. I'm talking about shame of the gospel. I'm talking about churches falling away. I'm talking about moral, cultural crises. And what happened was God's people got stirred to pray. James Edwin Orr, who was the foremost evangelical revival historian of the last generation, had a tremendous little video. I think it was less than a half hour long, about the role of prayer in awakening. I saw it probably in the late 70s, and it stirred me deeply. I've read transcripts of it subsequently and watched it again. And he lays out through history, based on a famous quote from Matthew Henry, that when God wants to send revival, he gets his people praying. That something starts to happen in our hearts and our lives, and we begin to cry out. We begin to recognize something's wrong, something's missing. We begin to seek the face of God, and God moves. There's one of the most famous revivals of all time, the Welsh Revival, 1904, 1905, a nine-month period that shook Wales and many parts of Europe and around the world, had implications that continue to this day in terms of what got sparked. And there was much prayer in many churches, but one man, the key man that God used in it, Evan Roberts, got terribly gripped for months and months and months and months before revival. Terribly gripped. His landlord wanted to throw him out of the house because of his groans and his cries and hearing him preach to the walls. He was just a young coal miner in Bible school, 26 years old, but he got so gripped with this burden, and he began to pray, bend the church, save the world, bend the church, save the world. And his agonized cries were so overwhelming, and others crying out, and then the fire fell, and suddenly revival broke in Wales, and it was one of the most outstanding moves of God in history. But I tell you, the prayer of revival is not a superficial prayer. There's an audio clip, very moving audio clip from the Fire on the Altar website of a compilation of young children praying for revival. I want to play some of those clips through the broadcast today. Let's start with number one, Joey.
Turn this country back to you, Lord! They need you desperately, Lord! They're dying and they don't know it! They're going to hell! They're on the wrong track! They don't know it, Lord! Turn their hearts to you! Show them that there's more to life, God! I pray, Lord, move their hearts! Take them back, Lord! We take them back, Lord! Come, we break down religion and the bondage and the idols, Lord!
I don't know about you, but that tears at my heart to hear little children praying, little children crying out for the nation, little children who on our watch are exposed to all kinds of pollution and temptation, the likes of which no previous generation has had to deal with. Little children crying out, God will hear the cries of his people. God will arise in power. God will respond. In fact, let's play one more clip. Let's play the second clip, Joey.
Prosper. With your help, we can do whatever. We can become a missionary, and we can be only 7, 8, or 9, 11, 10. Whatever age we are, we can do what grown-ups can do. We can go into the world. We can preach the gospel. We need you more of you, Lord, in this whole world. We need you. Send your power down.
Isn't that really what it comes down to? We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you to start an awakening in our own hearts and lives. We need you, Lord, to help us where we've become cold or compromised or indifferent or strayed from our first love or self-righteous or habitually religious or discouraged or beaten down by the world or given over to sin. Lord, we need you. This is not something we do through our own best efforts. This is not something we do through our own best works. This is something we do with your help, with your grace. I want to encourage you, if you cry out to God, he will hear you. I want to encourage you, based on the word of God, that the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. I want to encourage you that the faith-filled prayer of a godly person will avail much. I want to encourage you that if we ask anything according to the Father's will, we know he hears us. And sending revival, sending awakening, is certainly in accordance with the Father's will. I've got a lot more examples I want to give and share with you. Phone lines are jammed. Thanks for being so patient, folks. I will get to your calls on the other side of the break, so thanks for being patient. I'd like to remind you of the resource that we've put together this week. We have hundreds of hours of free resources on our website, so if you haven't been there, go to askdrbrown.org and just click on the free online resources. I mean, messages after messages you can listen to that'll stir you to go deeper in God, to pray, to believe for revival. Messages that were preached in the midst of true revival movements that I've been part of. You can go online and get all of those for free. We also have some special resources that you can order that will really bless you. And we're putting them together in the best way we can, the least expensive way we can. 36 hours of teaching that I did. 12 hours on foundations of prayer, 12 hours on foundations of intercession, 12 hours on how to be led by the Spirit, all on 3 CDs. You can listen to them on your MP3 player. You can listen to them on your computer. 3 CDs, 36 hours, postage paid for just $30. That's less than half the normal price. Prayer, intercession, how to be led by the Spirit. So take advantage of these resources. Give us a call right now. Our team is waiting to hear from you. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Just get the special Spiritual Life resource package. And if you can join with us as a torchbearer, become one of the growing army of faithful monthly supporters helping us spread the fire. Man, that would be awesome. But get hold of these. Prayer, intercession, be led by the Spirit. 36 hours of teaching. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I want to just give a moment of personal background here and then go to your calls as we talk about awakening. Awakening is the only hope in America, awakening in the church leading to cultural moral reformation through the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you missed my wake-up call at the earlier part of the program, just get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and that will be the wake-up call you need to recognize the urgent hour in which we live. But Jesus is Lord, and the gospel, through an awakened people, is the answer. For many years, especially from 1982 until 95, hunger, thirst for revival was the great consuming burden in my life. And then I was convinced something was at the door, something was ready to happen. A book of mine, which is now Time for Holy Fire in the third edition, that's the name of it, came out in March of 95 saying, are you ready? Something is at the door. The book closes with the words, are you ready? And 3 months after that revival broke in Pensacola, Florida, I got to be part of that. And in the midst of that, as a leader in that revival over a four-year period, my heart began to stir for revolution, for moral, cultural revolution through the power of the gospel. Jesus radically transforming people, people radically transforming society in the power and life of the Spirit and the gospel. And that has burned in me ever since. Not a political revolution, God forbid, not a violent revolution, but a Jesus revolution. As I continue to press forward with that vision, I have been struck with increasing measure in recent months in particular by the utterly hopeless nature of the situation without awakening. Now, this is not news to me. I'm just saying it has struck me afresh that these themes must go hand in hand more than ever before. Awakening and revolution. Awakening in the church. Revolution in society. So I remain deeply committed to those things, the twin burdens in many ways of my life. Of course, reaching the Jewish people, world missions are always burdens I live with day and night, but that to me is part of revival and revolution. So we must come back to this. We can't sidestep this. We must have this as a foundation, the awakening of the church leading to the transformation of the society through the gospel. All right, to the phones, Jeremy in Houston, thanks for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going?
Just great, thanks. What's on your mind?
Awesome. Well, first off, may Yeshua bless this conversation. I have personally been witness to many backslid disciples with broken hearts turning back to the Father and consecrating themselves once again to his purpose. I believe that for a long time we have been complacent. For a long time we have chosen ourselves over the purpose of him, and our children are suffering for it. Generations before have not taken a stand. We must take a stand. We must hold each other up. We must love each other. We must love those who cannot love. I believe you're right. Revival is coming, and it's coming soon.
Amen. And you, when Jeremy, when you see someone changed that was struggling for so long, maybe for years and years, they were in a rut and they didn't seem to be able to get out of it. Or people you've witnessed to for years and they're dull and hard of hearing. Or people mock the message of the gospel. And then you see the Holy Spirit moving in supernatural conviction. You see the Holy Spirit going down deep in their hearts. And in a moment of time, they're transformed and they're in tears and they're broken and they're changed. That's what happens in times of awakening. That's what happens in times of revival. Arthur Wallace wondered, and I quote him at the beginning of my Holy Fire book, great author on revival and the Day of Thy Power, classic book. But as a boy, he went to Wales as a teenager and heard about what God did in the Welsh revival and thought, wow, if the work of years and years and years could be done in a period of months during times of revival, doesn't it make sense that we put prayer for revival and awakening high on our list of priorities? Of course, we do what we can do day by day to obey the Lord, but ought we not be praying for revival and awakening? God will answer. We'll be back.
fire, we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My heart is burning today with the theme of awakening. Awakening in the church leading to awakening in the society. True revival. Not where you put up a sign in front of your building saying we're having revival meetings next week, but true revival. What some have described as God stepping down from heaven. What I've often thought of in terms of the flood, Noah's flood in Genesis 7, that the two things happened, that the windows of heaven were open, so the rain came pouring down from above, and the fountains of the deep erupted. To me, I look at the deposit of the Holy Spirit within us erupting in times of revival as the Holy Spirit is poured out from on high. And that really brings about a holy revolution, not one of human might or force, but one of the Spirit. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, we've laid out the needs in society today. Hey, look, one of the most recent news items is that the Church of Scotland has voted to move in the direction of ordaining homosexual clergy. Final decision will be made around 2013, there has been a positive vote. The Church of Scotland has voted to allow the possible selection of gay and lesbian ministers in the future. We can see this apostasy and we can say, well, that's just a sign that it's all over and Jesus is coming at any moment. Or we can see this apostasy and say, oh God, we need revival. Look, there's tremendous suffering now in different parts of America with these devastating tornadoes. Nancy and I were talking about it last night. Boy, how can you imagine the terror? I've been in hurricanes, but never tornadoes. Could you imagine the terror and family members ripped out of your arms and then you look and everything's gone. The work of years just disappears and devastation in the community. And I mean, the loss of life at the top of it, but just the devastation of whole communities. There's a lot of suffering. What's causing these tornadoes? Is it just natural? Is it an attack of the devil? Is it judgment from God? I do not have a definitive answer. If someone does, well, then maybe you do. I don't. But I know when we see this happen, it drives us to our knees and we say, oh God, have mercy on our country. It's getting torn up. Have mercy. Have mercy, oh God. Pour out your spirit before it is too late for a generation, before the moral darkness just surrounds in such a way that even holding up a candle is difficult because people are immediately blowing it out. I'm talking spiritually, of course. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Michael in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I think that one of the big things that's mitigating against the church in America today is false teaching within the church.
Mm-hmm.
That there are things like people saying, there are too many people saying that God's purpose for having a great rapture or the end of the world is to prevent astronauts from building moon bases and flying to Mars.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a little different than I have heard. I will say, Michael, that there is false teaching in the church and there are errors. And I haven't heard that one before. If you've heard it, I'd agree that that's completely erroneous. So thanks for enlightening us on that. But, yeah, false teaching in the church is one of the problems. That's what causes some of the backsliding. For example, the it's all about me gospel, the self-exalting gospel. Jesus comes to give me a bigger and better life. Instead of calling me to die, he calls me to be bigger and better. And through dying, finding life in him, of course. The idea that there's no hope, that everything's coming down, that it's only getting worse, why pray for revival? I mean, that teaching has been in the body for centuries and centuries and centuries. Not a recent thing. It's over. It's all getting worse. Why bother praying? The good news is that there are people whose hearts are stirred. The good news is there are signs all over of increasing prayer in the body. I mean, the houses of prayer that have been raised up and others praying night and day, not that they're earning it, but they're crying out with a desperate heart for God to move. There is an increase in this beyond anything I've seen in my days in the Lord here in America. And more people recognizing that there is no social solution or political solution or economic solution. There must be a spiritual solution, and it must begin among the people of God. The whole commission the Lord gave me, reach out and resist. I'm not the only one that received that. Others did. But the specific words, reach out and resist, reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, resist gay activism with courage. Well, friends, I'm committed to stand obediently to the Lord in that and to resist gay activism with courage. But I understand that can only happen with the power of the Spirit, and that can only happen with an awakened church, and that can only happen with the reach out part happening. In other words, a massive harvest of souls among those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, as the mercy and love of God and repentance is poured out upon them. Otherwise, just our standing up, doing our best, won't do it. Oh, yes, we must do what we know how to do. Absolutely. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And G.K. Chesterton said, fallacies do not cease to be fallacies because they become fashions. Just because everybody's into something doesn't make it right. By the way, I owe those quotes to my friend Eric Holmberg of the Apologetics Group. I got his email today about some things and noticed these tremendous quotes he had at the bottom of his email, so I copied them for the show today. By all means, we have to do what we know how to do, but along with the day-to-day discipleship, along with day-to-day living for God and being responsible, along with reaching out to our neighbors, along with standing up for what's right in our community, along with all that, we must be praying and believing. Oh, God, awaken your church. Oh, God, send your Spirit. Oh, God, shake everything that must be shaken, that only your unshakable kingdom may remain. Oh, God, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we've heard about what you did in the past, Habakkuk 3:2. Renew it in our day. In our time, make it known. That's a prayer that God responds to. 866-34-TRUTH. Gyro in North Miami, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. Nice to hear from you again.
I just wanted to echo, sometimes I hear people talk about repentance and so on, and I know that there's a scripture that's quoted a lot that my people will humble themselves and repent, turn from their wicked ways, and I would hear from heaven and heal their land. And I think that, sometimes we talk about the beginnings of our nation and the country in America, and I know that for a fact that our first president owned 100 slaves. And I think unless we really deep down, really go deep, and realize the sins of our forefathers or our ancestors or people before us to really clean the slate so God can really heal the land. If we still have these, I talked to a friend of mine, he's a preterist, and I'm a millennialist, and he was, beating us up on us. See, I know that there's no such thing as a kingdom coming back, or Jesus coming back. He's not coming back. He's already here, this and that. But the division among us, unless we really humble ourselves and stop fighting and really repent and see sin for what it is, I don't think the Lord's going to listen to us. And I know that sounds a little bit on the negative side, but I know so many people that defend the slavery movement. They have an excuse for it.
It's interesting, Jaro. I mean, I haven't run into any Christian defenders of the slave movement that I can recall. The horrors of slavery. But this much I will say, there's no question that repentance goes deeper than we expect and realize. In other words, we see the problems out there, all the sins out there. And then maybe the sins of others in the church. A little bit of the sins in our own lives. I mean, this is the way we can be sometimes. But when God begins to move, in true revival, God comes as a refiner's fire. And I've been through it. And it's painful. And it's gut-wrenching. Because it starts to uncover things. It uncovers motives. I didn't know. I had no idea. It uncovers wrong motives. It uncovers wrong attitudes. It uncovers things that we had gotten used to and didn't realize were sin. Or things that we covered up from the past. Absolutely. Let the repentance come and let it come deeply. In fact, I believe it was Frank Bartleman who was involved in the Azusa Street outpouring who said that the depth of any revival will be determined by the depth of the spirit of repentance that is obtained. So well said. Thank you. Okay, let me just make one other comment, though, about the past. One other comment about the past. I am not going to spend years or even days, probably not even minutes, researching everything that past generations, you know, my forefathers did, to see is there anything, anything, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, anything going there, I'm from New York, anything, maybe our past history that could be causing a problem today. No, but here's where I fully support the repentance issue in terms of looking back. If the wound remains, in other words, if something was done, for example, to the Native Americans in our country, things were done to Native Americans, because of which they are still suffering to this day, that's something we must address before God. If the wound remains, and if the sin remains, for example, if there's still anti-Semitism in people's hearts, then that is an issue. So if the wound remains or the sin remains, absolutely, we must deal with it with repentance and restitution, however we know, before the Lord, so that we can move forward with a clean slate. We come back. I'm going to play another clip of children crying out to God. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to talk to you for a moment about Charles Finney and revival. You may have heard the debate I had last week with Jerry Johnson of the Nicene Council about the issue of Charles Finney, Jerry claiming that he was a false prophet, an arch heretic, and of course I took the opposite side, that he was greatly, mightily used by God and a true believer, although I didn't defend every aspect of his theology. Finney said this, as we're focused on awakening, moral cultural revolution coming out of awakening, and the role of prayer to birth awakening. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to weigh in. Finney, I'm not going to give the whole story, but in short, Finney was an abolitionist. He militantly opposed slavery, but he was equally strong, even more strong, on saying you must put revival first. The first thing that has to happen is revival in the church, and that pouring out into the world for the conversion of sinners. And then out of that, the abolition of slavery. And he warned this, and I don't have the text of the letter in front of me, but I read it and studied it some years back. He warned that if revival did not come first, that there would be a national bloodbath over the issue of slavery. And, of course, it happened in his lifetime in the Civil War. What we must have is an awakening-based answer, an awakening-based change, and that will come out of prayer. That will come. Charles Finney's ministry not only was based on agony of prayer in his own life, but Daniel Nash and Abel Clary, two intercessors who would cry out to God day and night before his meeting, sometimes would rent a house and would do 12-hour shifts of prayer. So there was 24-hour prayer with two men praying. And when Finney would arrive in the area, things were already broken up by the Spirit, by the work of God. God can do that, friends. God can move. That is the power of the Spirit working in answer to prayer, not for our benefit, but for the advance of the kingdom. And something that touches my heart more deeply than anything is hearing children crying out to God. There's a clip from the website Fire on the Altar, a compilation of children praying. I've been playing some excerpts on the show today. Let's play clip number 3.
If we get stoned, whipped, or beaten, or crucified, or dying because of you, Lord, I don't care. I just care that we've done what you want us to do, Lord. I call myself a wimp, and I call you a king, a majesty. I don't think myself higher of you. I don't think about my hair, Lord. I take everything I put in front of you, Lord, and I put you in front.
That's what it comes down to. Little kids saying, I don't care about how I look. I don't care what happens to me. I just want you. I just want you. I put you in front. Friends, as we do that, God will answer with fire. God will answer with holy, spiritual, transforming fire. Ezra in Queens, thanks for being with us today on The Line of Fire.
Yes, hello, Dr. Brown, and God bless you, and may the grace of our God be upon you. I thank God for this program. I'm a first-time caller. I have a question for you. I'm going to ask the question, then I'm going to hang up to listen to your answer. I have heard a few months ago that on the homosexual agenda, they were having the transsexual surgeries, the reassignment surgery, and they were given birth certificates to substantiate that they were actually born this way. And I know that we, as Christians, we're to evangelize and get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to everyone. So my question to you is, would this be considered an abomination, or are we just still to evangelize them? Because we do know the scripture said God declared that our body is the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. Therefore, if any man shall defile the temple of God, him God shall destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and I'll listen for your answer.
All right. Thank you, Ezra. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. You may say, where did Ezra's call come from? What did that have to do with awakening? Well, you would have missed earlier in the show when I was giving a wake-up call about things happening in society today, about gay activists saying, yeah, of course we want to indoctrinate your kids. Why else would we be doing what we're doing in the schools? And a Canadian couple raising their kids without gender, saying we're not going to, even though we know physically, genitalia, that this is male or female, this child, we're not going to raise them either way. We're going to find out who they really are. Yikes. You think, what about role models? What about when the kid's born, you don't say, doctor says, well, packaging is male, but we don't know what's on the inside. No, it's a boy, it's a girl. I know people struggle. I have compassion for people who struggle. I can't imagine the struggle of being convinced you're trapped in the wrong body. The problem is on the inside, not the outside. So Ezra, it is absolutely mutilating one's body, no matter how else you put it, for no reason. We wouldn't accept someone chopping off an arm for no reason. Nancy and I were talking about this because she had a tooth pulled the other day. You wouldn't, if you said, look, I'm troubled by my teeth. I want them all pulled. I just want to have gums. No dentist is going to do that. Yet sex change surgery is the end thing. It's acceptable. It's cool. It's positive. It's liberating. So, you can actually have a change in some places, or this is the movement, you know, that your birth certificate will be changed that now reflects you're male or female based on that sex change surgery. The verse you quoted, I believe, is from 2 Corinthians 3, which is talking about the body of Christ there. That's plural. That's corporate. Whoever destroys the body means the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, which talks about our body being the temple, is talking about our individual bodies. By all means, Ezra, continue to reach out to these people with the love of God. By all means, continue to evangelize. If you knew this person as Joe and the other person is Jane, you may still say, hey, to me you're Joe, and I'm sorry I can't call you Jane. But you reach out with love, you reach out with compassion, you share the gospel. God's not ultimately going to save that physical body except through resurrection. He's going to save that spirit, that soul within, the person inside. That's who we reach out to and evangelize, even though they're one whole human being. We reach out to them and evangelize them. As they get saved, then God can deal with them about sorting out their lives from here on, after they have altered their physical bodies. But just another reminder, we need Jesus. We need awakening. We need the Holy Spirit poured out. And as we will seek God earnestly, he will answer. Zechariah 10:1, ask the Lord for rain in the time of spring rain. There are times and seasons. There are times for rain. The biblical calendar, yes, we understand, but even spiritually there are times. Let us join together and let us keep asking, knocking, believing for our own lives, our own families, our own congregational communities, our own regions, our nation, that God would bring awakening. He will. He will hear the prayers of his people. Friends, we want to help sow into that in your own lives with this special offer today, 36 hours of teaching, 12 hours, best teaching I've done on the subjects, Foundations of Prayer, 12 hours, Foundations of Intercession, 12 hours, How to Be Led by the Spirit, all together on 3 CDs to listen to on MP3 or on your computer for $30 postage paid. So that's less than half price. So it's our way of making these available to you. And once you get them, copy them, give them out to friends. Go for it. Call this number, 1-800-278-9978. Got that? 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. My bottom line, if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, God will answer. God will respond. God will open the door. God will fill the hungry. God will satisfy the thirsty. God will fulfill his promises. And God often saves the best for last. Let's believe him for the greatest awakening in America's history. What is the only real hope of America today? It is a spiritual awakening that will become a moral and cultural awakening. And where does it start? It starts in prayer.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am a student of revival. And I'm an eyewitness to revival. And I can tell you that in a few short months, God does more in periods of true outpouring, true awakening, true moves of the Spirit. God does more in a few short months than we often see in decades and decades of our very best efforts. I believe with all my heart that it is time for another awakening in America. And I believe that an awakening could be near. I'm not giving dates. I'm not prophesying. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe an awakening could be near. And I know that we need a national awakening more desperately than any other time in my life. And that means that we must give ourselves to prayer for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org, or on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, S-D-R Brown. Some of my personal testimony. I got saved in 1971. Most of you know my story. It's from LSD to PhD. I was a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, diesel gas-huffing, rebellious, proud 16-year-old rock drummer in a Jewish home on Long Island when God apprehended me in 1971. I was radically converted. Some of my friends were radically converted. December 17th of 71 was the night I really surrendered to the Lord because I was struggling with heroin and struggling with putting a needle in my arm. But that night, in encountering the joy of the Lord, encountering the presence of the Lord, convicted of my sins and recognizing his love, I said, that's it. That's it. I will never put a needle in my arm again. And from that moment on, I was free. I'm talking about a real encounter with God. What I didn't know was that around the world, at that very time, that very season, that very day, but around the world from the late 60s into the early 70s, God was saving hippies, radicals, rebels, many Jews among them, all over the world in what we call the Jesus People Movement or the Jesus Revolution, to the point that Time Magazine, June of 1971, the cover story is Jesus Revolution. It was amazing. So I got saved in what was a worldwide outpouring of the Spirit. And my heart always burned to see God move. I had a passion for that, preaching repentance, watching God pour out his Spirit on his people, seeking his face, seeing God's people revived. By 1982, though, 11 years into my walk in the Lord, I was finishing up my PhD work at NYU. I had become intellectually, theologically, spiritually proud. Gradually, I was backsliding from my first love. And God began to convict me deeply in my heart over a period of months through that year. Others were really praying. God began to quicken me, began to promise me that he would pour out his Spirit. And out of that outpouring that our church would be mightily touched. And it happened. It happened over a period of several months where we saw deep repentance and outpouring of the Spirit. And I myself was radically changed. And then revival became a passionate, passionate burden to me for years and years after that, until I was privileged to be part of the Brownsboro Revival from 1996 to 2000. It began in 95, and I was part of the leadership from 96 to 2000, and an eyewitness to more than 300,000 people coming to the altars to repent, Christians repenting, backsliders coming back, people being saved for the first time. Out of that, a school of ministry was raised up that continues to this day, Fire School of Ministry, that has helped send missionaries around the world who are bearing fruit right now for Jesus. Out of that vision for revival came a fresh burden for cultural reformation, for Jesus revolution to impact society. And I've burned with that for years and years. If you've heard me on the radio, you've heard me talk about it. Our show is a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. But we're at the point, friends, where the only way that we can see a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution is if there is an awakening in the church. The two must go hand in hand. Awakening, moral, cultural revolution. I believe it's time. You're going to be stirred today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. You know, during the break, I was just looking at this young man writing to our website, identifying as a gay Christian. The Church of Scotland, I got into this very briefly in the last hour, but the Church of Scotland has now voted to open up the doors to the potential of ordaining gay and lesbian clergy. Yeah, that's right. Church of Scotland votes on gay ministers. BBC News from 2 days ago. The Church of Scotland has voted to allow the possible selection of gay and lesbian ministers in the future. The controversial issue is being debated at the Kirk's General Assembly. A theological commission will now set up and will report in 2013 before a final decision on the issue of gay ordination is taken. Earlier, the assembly voted to accept gay and lesbian clergy, provided they had declared their sexuality and were ordained before 2009. Just another sign of our need for awakening in the church. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, I want to encourage you. I want to inspire you. I want you to know that God is faithful and God will hear our prayer. I also want you to recognize that we're faced with things like polls telling us that for the first time, majority of Americans support gay marriage, which, by the way, doesn't surprise me in the least, given the media bias on this and the constant bombardment and the lack of biblical foundations in people's lives. An article on a gay website, queerty.com, very vulgar article as you read in. I mean, it's just profane in different ways, so I've just read the beginning, which is the most relevant part. But the author said, Daniel Villarreal, says, can we please just start admitting that we do actually want to indoctrinate kids? He says, this is on queerty.com, we want educators to teach future generations of children to accept queer sexuality. In fact, our very future depends on it. Come on, you've got Pixar, the great animated movie studio with their phenomenal skills in animation. Pixar with Toy Story, something I've seen with our grandkids. Toy Story, Woody, the cowboy action figure, the hero in these. He's on this TV ad. It gets better, encouraging kids. Hey, it gets better. You come out. I mean, who is Woody appealing to? 80-year-olds or 15-year-olds or 10-year-olds or 6-year-olds? I mean, mainstream television, prime time, families watching together and ads coming on. Hey, be encouraged. It could, you know, hang on to your homosexuality. Hang on to your bisexuality. Hang on to your transgenderism. It gets better. Hang on. Being encouraged by different leaders and athletes. And you're perfect just the way you are. In other words, there can be no moral objection to homosexual practice, to homosexuality. And if you have any moral objection, you are a bigot and you are going in the closet. That's the direction in which our society is heading. What's the answer? Yelling, screaming back? No. What's the answer? Retreating? Giving up? No. What's the answer? Awakening. Awakening. Awakening among God's people. We who are the salt. We who are the light. We who are, in the words of Martin Luther King, the moral conscience of the society. We who, through the Spirit of God, bring a difference by preaching the gospel to the lost, by offering them salvation and redemption, by preaching repentance, by living it out. As we live differently, society will change around us. Here, let me give you an example. Have you ever within your own home had a radical change in your life, or maybe one of your kids did, or maybe your spouse did, and the change was so radical in their lives as they were praying, they were fasting, they were going after God, they were abstaining from sinful activities you used to do together, that it impacted you or it impacted the rest of the household, or the change in you impacted the rest of the household? One of my favorite stories that I would often hear in the midst of the Brownsville revival would be when parents who were Christian, but let's say nominal, maybe they even knew the Lord, but they were not deeply committed. They'd be concerned because they got a teenage daughter, a teenage son, 15, 16, maybe even 14, on drugs, sleeping around, messed up. And they'd come to services at the Brownsville Revival. Maybe that was their home church there. And they would say, pray for my kid. You know, he's away from the Lord. She's away from the Lord. She doesn't know God. He doesn't know God. Pray for them. And then the kid would come and get radically saved. I mean, really saved, deep repentance, transformation of life. And then come home and say to the parents, why are you watching that on TV? Well, I thought you're Christian. You shouldn't watch that. And they weren't being self-righteous. They were just stunned, like, you're praying for me. Now I'm saved. Why are you watching that trash, that filth, that profanity, the ungodly scenes? And we would hear the testimonies of parents who'd say, you know, I didn't know what was happening with my kid. And I got up. It was 4 in the morning. I happened to wake up because I saw a light on in the hallway. What's my kid doing up at 4 in the morning? And they go marching down the hall, knocking the door. What are you doing up? Oh, Mom, I'm just so hungry for the Word. I just got to read the Word. I can't get enough of the Word of God. And the parents would be transformed. I remember one dad saying that he got transformed when he heard his daughter praying. He heard his daughter. She was in her room. And it was early in the morning. And he knew she liked to sleep in and get up just before she had to get ready for school. And here it is. She's up real early when he's getting out to go to work. And he hears her praying and weeping. Oh, God, save my school. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on my friends. Save my school. Save my mom. Save my dad. And the conviction would come on them. They'd be changed. So why am I giving these examples? It's to say, what if this would happen to millions of people in America? What if it would happen to millions of people in America that we really got changed? That we were really on fire, full of passion, full of hunger, full of thirst, living differently, radiating the Spirit, walking in love, walking in divine conviction? What would happen to our society? What would happen to those around us? Oh, yeah, there'd be opposition. There'd be persecution. But you better believe there'd be change. Many of them would get saved. Many backsliders would come back. Conviction would come. People would not be so open about certain sins. Change would come. That's how it starts with us, not by us being the moral police force that takes over the society, but by us living out the gospel. I want to talk with you more about the importance of prayer to birth awakening, but I just want to give you a tangible picture of what happens when awakening begins to take place. 866-34-TRUTH. Linda in Albany, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
What a privilege to be able to talk to you today. I just wanted to share with you about something that happened in my life 11 years ago when I visited the Brownsville Revival. And I went to a prayer night, which to me was just an awesome experience to be with 1,000 people, you know, just going after God. And I went up by the Revival in America banner, and God just did something in me that night. I laid on the floor beneath that banner for a half an hour, just weeping for my country, and I've never had experienced a travail in prayer like that. And something was birthed in me that night that has stayed with me ever since. And I've just been one who has taken up the call for intercession. Mm. And God has been so faithful to me to encourage me in that. He's taken me to outpourings and just really let me know that it is important that I'm here in my little country house, oftentimes up in the night, and that I'm praying. And I just know it was something that I couldn't have conjured up for myself. You know, it was something that He did for me in a sovereign way, and He's continued to fan the flame of prayer in my life. And I just really want to thank you this morning. I was going to get up, and my goal for today was to just really go before the Lord and say, you know, in the midst of taking care of aging parents and grandkids that are in crisis and the details of a home and property and life, and, you know, God, just take me back to the basics again and show me what it is you have for me to do for you. And then I just turned on the web today, and there you were, encouraging prayer that brings revival. And it's just really fanning me into flame today. So I just thank you so much for addressing this subject today.
Well, Linda, God bless you, and thanks for your testimony. And it's your prayers, people just living their regular lives, not superstars, not full-time ministry, media people, just people living their lives before God. Those are the prayers that God's going to hear and that are going to turn our nation. Thank you so much. Hey, just to explain one thing that Linda meant when she made reference to the Revival in America banner. Before revival broke in Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, and by the way, if you find me trustworthy, that should give you confidence that this was a bona fide move of God. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been part of it for 4 years, part of the leadership and raising up a school in the midst of it. It was the real deal. So if you heard weird, crazy reports about it, the reports are crazy. The revival was real. as multiplied thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of eyewitnesses could attest. But before the revival broke, the pastor of the church, John Kilpatrick, got so desperate for a move of God that he canceled the Sunday night services, which were major preaching services in his church then, and said, "We're just going to pray. We're just going to pray." And they put up these different banners, one of them, excuse me, being a revival banner. So this idea spread to other places as well. There'd be different subjects. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the lost. Pray for revival. And people would be encouraged just to stop at each banner for like 5 minutes and pray, 12 banners in all, and then move on to the next. And this way, in an hour, you can have focused prayer for all these different subjects. There's nothing magic about the banners. It was the topics. And that revival banner caught the heart of many a person. Many tears shed for revival in America. God heard and answered. God will do it again. The need is desperate. The answer is greater than the need in Jesus.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm busy during the break. Sometimes I'm looking at notes and getting things in order for the next part of the program, or reviewing some audio clips that we'll play with Joey, our engineer in the studio, or checking things online, or even interacting with people. I was just interacting with a counter-missionary online about Isaiah 53 during the break and said, "Hey, I'm out of here. No more time. I got a live radio show to do." So we keep busy, keep focused, and we're focused on awakening. Awakening. Friends, are we in America, believers in America, living up to the calling of God? Are we living up to the standard of God? Are we making a difference? Are we changing the world, or has the world changed us? Come on. The answer is obvious. Let's face the facts. Let's recognize the state we're in so that we can come to God in need, so that we can come to God so that He can move and pour out His Spirit and bring about change. If I try to convince someone to go to the doctor, it's not because I want to make them sick. It's because I want to make them better. And I recognize that they go to the doctor, that the doctor has a simple solution for this. And if they'll just take this medication or have this procedure, they'll be feeling better than they have before. Barring divine healing, that's a solution. So I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I'm saying, yeah, you recognize something's wrong. I recognize something wrong. What's the answer? Not the latest seminar on church growth, not the latest fad book on how to do it, because even a good idea is not going to get it done when we are weak and incapacitated ourselves. The answer is awakening. As God has moved in the past, the first great awakening, the second great awakening in America, different moves of the Spirit over the centuries in different countries, and beginning with the pattern in Acts, that Acts 1:14, the believers are continually together in prayer, they're waiting, they're expectant, and the fire falls. No, we don't only pray, we pray and we act. And every day we have responsibilities and things that we do to be obedient to the Lord, to be believers in society. And we pray, we cry out, we make it a priority. Oh God, rend the heavens and come down. Oh God, shake everything that can be shaken, that only your unshakable kingdom may remain. Oh God, your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. Visit us afresh. There must be more. And God wants to reveal Himself more greatly, more profoundly in us, to us, through us, out of His love for us and out of His love for a dying world. Before I go to the phones, I've been playing the first hour, now the second hour broadcasting. I've been playing some audio clips from a compilation of children praying that's found on the Fire on the Altar website, fireonthealtar.com. And it's stirring. I always get stirred when I hear these words, but it reminds me of the needs of this younger generation. It reminds me of how God will hear the cries of the little ones. God will hear the cries of these children. So let's play clip number one again.
Turn this country back to you, Lord! They need you desperately, Lord! They're dying and they don't know it! They're going to hell! They're on the wrong track! They don't know it! Show them that there's more to life, God! I pray, Lord, move their hearts! Take them back, Lord! We take them back, Lord! Come, we break down religion and the bondage and the idol, Lord!
Yeah, it's going to take that. Crying out and saying that wherever we find dead religion, form of religion without power, without God, wherever we find idols in our own lives, you know, things that grab our attention, that we're, when we're walking in passion with the Lord, don't grab our attention. Things that interest us and pull us away, things that weigh us down, things that we give our energy to that steal our energy from God. Lord, no idols in our hearts, no idols in our lives. We smash them in Jesus' name. We cry out to God. He hears. It's not works. Our prayer is not a work. It's not if we can accumulate enough hours in prayer, he'll answer. It's relational. It's us crying out. And we make room in our hearts, friends, as we pray and cry out to God. We make room in our hearts for the visitation of God. We make room in our lives with that hunger and that thirst, just as a woman's stomach gets bigger and bigger and bigger as that baby grows. Our capacity for God, our hunger for him gets bigger and bigger, so that when he comes and visits, we welcome him. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll be playing some more clips from these kids praying as the show goes on. Vic in Denver, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well. Thank you, Vic.
Okay, I got to get it together. After that clip, you've got a truck driver here sitting at a truck stop in his truck bawling like a baby because he's listening to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to get this going. I've had on my heart drivers in prayer for the metro area of Denver, like covering the city as we drive.
Wow.
And I never really did much about it until the Tuesday before the National Day of Prayer, a local Christian broadcaster here had on the lady that does the Colorado Day of Prayer. And she said anybody that had an idea for a prayer ministry, give her a call. So I gave her a call, and we talked and emailed back and forth. She's offered me an opportunity to use her website. She's introduced me to a man who drives over the road around the country who wants to do the same thing. And I agree 100% with you. We need to pray for a revival starting in our own hearts. And I'm a little embarrassed, but that's okay.
Oh, Vic, I'm glad you were touched. And I've had to get myself together after playing some of these clips in the past. It tears at your heart. And I'm blessed. Here you are, a truck driver with a tender heart, weeping at a truck stop. What a great ministry idea. You've got those hours in the truck. You've got time to occupy, time on your hands, and time that can be focused because you're just driving and you're not doing other things, and you're all over the place. You're surrounding cities, you're surrounding areas, you're thinking about different places you're passing by strip clubs, you're passing by church buildings, you're passing by neighborhoods and big cities, little communities. What a great idea. Vic, as soon as you have website info, shoot us a note at AskDrBrown.org, and I encourage others that are listening. We know there are always truck drivers listening to the broadcast all over the country, and that blesses me to know that we're talking to you. I'd love to meet some of you face-to-face and get a great big hug. So I want to encourage you, let us know, because this is something where people, what a powerful way to lock arms and have intercession for America weaving all over the country, and may the Lord continue to tenderize your heart and continue to burden you. Thank you, Vic, for the call. All right, Maurice in New Jersey, others, hang on. We'll be back with more calls. Just want to remind you of our special resource offer for this week. We try to make things available the best that we can to get them to the maximum number of people. So we've put together on 3 CDs the best teaching I've ever done on the subjects, Foundations of Prayer, Foundations of Intercession, How to Be Led by the Spirit, 3 CDs, each with 12 hours of teaching. So it really gets in-depth in an equipping, life-changing way. 36 hours of teaching to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player for $30 total postage paid. So that's less than a half price. And then when you get them, we bless you to make copies of them and give them out to your friends. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you can stand with us as a torchbearer, become a monthly supporter to help spread the fire. As we're hearing from you every day about that, boy, that's a great encouragement. And together we are making a difference. 1-800-278-9978 or online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Back with a whole lot more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nations. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today. Oh yes. You hear us talking, singing. I'm not singing, but you hear the voice of Aaron Kreider singing every day about revolution, shake the nations. You hear us talking about being a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. That's only going to happen one way. It's only going to happen through awakening in the church. It's not going to happen by enough of us standing on the street holding hands and saying we're going to change the world, or enough of us going to the voting booth and voting, or just having another evangelistic campaign in our community, all of which have their place. I'm 100% for people holding hands for pro-life in front of abortion clinics through the country and lovingly standing and saying, we love you, we care for you. I'm you know, and down the streets as a witness. I'm all for believers voting. I'm all for evangelistic campaigns. I'm simply saying that the kind of change we need can only happen when there is supernatural outpouring, when there is revival, when there is awakening. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Again, I just want to reflect on a few things that have really caught my interest in recent days that remind me of the fact that there must be a gospel-based solution to the problems in our country. I was ministering at a fine church in Fort Myers, Florida this Sunday. And they have New Life Dream Center's ministry. They've had, I think, 28 years now. Originally didn't have the Dream Center name in it. Reaching drug addicts, prostitutes, alcoholics, people that the society would call the outcasts, the lowest of the low. And they've had an incredible ministry. A similar thing to Teen Challenge in terms of phenomenal results. Over 80% of the people going through the program, theirs is a 15-month program, graduating from the program, never going back to their old ways. And the folks that pick me up at the airport when I fly in there are from the home, men that have been in the home or the center long enough that they are now allowed to go out and do these kinds of things. And I love hearing their stories. The gentleman that came into baggage claim to get me had been in jail for 10 years. And he came out of jail determined not to go back to his old ways of dealing drugs. Okay. So here's what happens to him. He's not dealing drugs, but he's drinking. And his life is messed up, and he's neglecting his family, and he realizes, okay, it's still all about him. He has issues, and he gets radically, wonderfully saved, and he goes into the New Life Dream Center, and he's been a changed man, and I really believe his future and his family's future is bright. That's the power of the gospel. Society has no other answer. So what do we do when we hear now, polls indicating a majority of Americans now favor same-sex marriage? That's a first. When we hear about athletes now coming out, or hear sportscasters, ESPN 1050 host Jared Mack says he feels liberated after coming out. It was stupid for not doing it sooner. Hey, no problem in the sports world. Let's just, the only ones that would have a problem are the bigots. Church of Scotland, I mentioned the first half hour, opening the door further for the ordaining of gay and lesbian clergy. Report from Canada. I mean, everybody's been emailing about this. Have you heard this? Parents keep child's gender secret. A couple in Canada with three kids, their third kid, they're not telling people if it's a boy or a girl, and they're not putting him or her in either pink or blue. Well, they know fully, but so we don't know what's on the inside of the kid. Maybe they're going to grow up differently. I have great compassion for those who struggle with gender identity and who identify as transgender. I can't imagine the struggles you've lived through and the confusion and the pain that you've lived through or societal issues you've had to live through. It doesn't mean that God made a mistake. It doesn't mean he put you in the wrong body. So look, I've warned in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I warn about the idea of moving towards a genderless society. I quote books about blurring gender, multiplying gender, eradicating gender. Gay activists are saying openly, of course we want to indoctrinate your kids in the schools. Why else do we have the programs we do and the anti-bullying campaigns and the history studies we want taught and the sociological stuff we want? Of course. What's the answer? Awakening. I believe God's going to send it. I believe I'll have the privilege of being in another great awakening in America. I believe it. And it'll come out of fervent prayer, faith-filled, spirit-led prayer. God will answer.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. I am not discouraged. Oh, I have a stack of issues just dealing with gay activism in the sports world, in education, in the family, in politics, in the polls, just from the last week, probably the last 3 or 4 days, a stack sitting here. I'm not discouraged. Why? Because my trust is in Jesus the Lord. My trust is in God working in the midst of his church. My trust is that the God who brought awakening in the past will bring awakening again. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Hey, Joey, we're going to get ready to play some of those audio clips from the kids praying. We'll be starting with number 4, so just get that ready for us. Okay. In the history of America, there have been dark times, dark periods. Not just times of slavery, not just times of civil war, but moral backsliding in other ways. Revival historian James Edwin Orr talks about after the Revolutionary War and us gaining our independence, there was a lot of backsliding. And it got to the point that some colleges, which were founded as Christian colleges, were morally corrupt. That there were colleges with a couple hundred students where they did polls and could not find a single professing Christian. Where one of the colleges, founded as a Christian college in America, this is the late 1700s or so, that when they tried to find out about Christian activity on the campus, that the one Christian group would meet in secret and keep their meeting in code lest they be found out in America in the late 1700s, whereas all the other students had joined the Foul Mouth Club. And what happened? Second Great Awakening. God turned the tide. God pouring out his Spirit. How did it happen? It happened in response to prayer. It happened in response to people getting desperate. It happened in response to people saying there must be more. 1857, 1858, this is before the Civil War. Orr talks about how there was rise in the occult, how there was materialism and worldliness and sexual sin and so on and drunkenness. And a prayer meeting began. New York City, retired businessman turned missionary, Jeremiah Lamphere, handing out tracts, City Corners decides to have a prayer meeting during lunchtime so businessmen can pray. A handful join on the first day, then it grows and it grows. Before you know it, thousands, tens of thousands are praying during lunch hour and then other hours. And this begins the great prayer revival. 1857-58 swept across America. Some believe as many as 1 million people came into the kingdom and as many as 1 million backslidden or compromised believers were reawakened. It came out of prayer. And then those were touched in America brought it back to Ireland and Wales, and they had revival in 1859. God answers the prayers of his people, and we've been playing clips from the Fire on the Altar website of little children praying, a compilation. I've got some compilations on there. Some of my colleagues do. It hasn't been updated in some time, but if you've never been to fireonthealtar.com, go there. Some very stirring compilations and messages. Before we go back to the phones, let's play clip number 4. These are children praying. I just want you to hear some of this heart cry as little ones are crying out to God, because it is as we cry out and give ourselves to the gospel, God will hear, God will have mercy on our land.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying down on the cross for us. Thank you. We are eternally grateful for this God. Oh, God.
All we need is you. We don't need our sports, our toys. We don't need our house. We don't need anything. We just need you, our one Father.
Yeah, you know, the clips go on. I've been playing little excerpts, but there's only so much I can even take just hearing. Little kids, all we need is you, Lord. We don't need this and that. We don't need toys and entertainment and all these other things. We need you. And we're not concerned about peer pressure. We're not concerned about what other people think and say. We only want you, Lord. Friends, it's that kind of prayer. And then as you start to spend quality time with God, you realize how caught up with earthly things we can be, how caught up with the world we can be, how influenced by the world we can be, how entertained by the world we can be, how seduced by the world we can be, how polluted by the world we can be, how deceived by the world we can be. God's presence undeceives us. God's presence helps us to see what matters. And then we have these wonderful encounters with Jesus, back into his presence, back into the glory of the Lord. And wow, out of his presence, renewal, life comes. And it's not a sacrifice. Okay, I'm going to serve God. It's a joy. We rediscover that pearl of great price. That's what has to happen here in America. And look, I don't have an answer for why the tornadoes are devastating our nation right now. What suffering, what tragic suffering, and so many lies and horrific stories, personal stories to read of family members literally being just ripped apart, literally ripped, you know, one from the other. One lives, the other dies through this tornado and these tornadoes all over America. I don't know the causes. I'm sure if we continue to pray, God will give us insight. Is it just a natural disaster? And these things happen in a fallen world, end of subject, and people die? Is it an attack from the devil? Is it judgment from God? Is it specific judgment over specific sin? These are the types of discussions people have. People be passionate about this. I don't have an answer, but I know it reminds me. We need mercy. We need mercy. We need the grace of God poured out. We need healing for our wounded, broken country, without question. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones. Maurice for Somerset, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. All right, Maurice couldn't hold any longer. All right, you know, I'd wanted to get to his call, but we've had him on hold for quite a while. There are end time theologies, friends, that I differ with. And look, when we talk about the end times and certain things we can reject categorically, like the Harold Camping false teaching nonsense, and there are others we can passionately disagree on, but recognize that we don't have a full picture. None of us have a full picture on everything that's going to happen heading forward. So we humbly interpret the scriptures, and we do our best to live in accordance with these beliefs in a way that impacts us today. But I personally have an issue with any theology, whatever type it is, that tells us there is no hope, that tells us we can't pray, that tells us we can't cry out, that tells us it's too late, that tells us quit while you're ahead, it's all over. I have a problem with that. Could it be that America will suffer severe divine judgment beyond anything we've known? Absolutely. Could it be that our society will fall apart until it becomes unrecognizable? Possibility. Could it be that we decline in world influence to the point that we're not even in the top five powers or superpowers in the world? Could be. Could be. I can't give you scripture and verse that says that won't happen, or a prophetic timetable that says that can't happen. But this much I know. God is not sending discouragement my way. God is not sending hopelessness my way. God is not sending disappointment my way. I'm a realist. Trust me. I see news items. I see things happening. As God's called me to focus on issues having to do with homosexual activism on the moral level here in America. And again, if you haven't read my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, go to Amazon, order it. It'll change your life. It'll change your perspective. It'll bring awakening to you. As you read just about every page, you'll be saying, oh my God, oh my God. And you'll be praying for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender more than you ever have. And you'll be recognizing we need to stand against gay activism in the love and truth of God like never before. So if you don't have the book, get it. Queer Thing Happened to America. Order it on our website or Amazon.com. Look, I see a lot of stuff and it's discouraging in the natural. And when I hear gay activists saying it's inevitable there's going to be same-sex marriage in America, I think, could be. Could be. Those things could happen. But what's more inevitable to me is that God is going to prove himself true a trillion times out of a trillion and forever and ever and ever. What is absolutely undeniable to me is that if we cry out, God will hear. You say, well, I think we're like the Laodicean church in Revelation 3, or some of you actually think we're the Laodicean age. And Jesus said to that church, the believers in Asia Minor, you say, I'm rich, increased in wealth, and I've need of nothing. And he said, you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. But that's not where it ends. He says, so I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire that you can really be rich. and eye salve for your eyes so that you can see, and clothes to cover your nakedness. In other words, there is hope. No matter what state we find ourselves in today, there is hope, and that hope is found at the throne of God, and we access the throne of God through prayer. We come back, I want to tell you a story from the ministry of Charles Finney and prediction of the Civil War, a story you may not be familiar with. It'll challenge you. It will encourage you. We'll play some more audio clips of some of these kids crying out and dedicating their lives to the Lord that I believe will touch you and stir you as well. But I want to remind you that Jesus says to the congregation of Laodicea, the one that he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. There is hope for something greater than we've ever seen. National awakening in our day.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So let me share with you something from the life of Charles Finney, a man whom you know I greatly admire. I took strong exception to a ministry that put out a DVD claiming that he was a false prophet, a child of the devil, an arch heretic. He was mightily used by God, gripped by God, used by God, greatly impacted his generation and generations to come. His theology was not perfect. None of our theology is perfect, by the way. But you're talking about someone used by God. By the way, I won't be taking calls this last segment, hence I'm not giving out the number, but you can interact with me online. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. We also have a list of resources that are relevant to today's broadcast, some of our free online resources as well, at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay. Charles Finney was pastoring in New York City, and he was actively involved in the abolition movement. From what I understand, if you, let's say you had a plantation in the South and you had slaves, then you could not take communion in his church. He was president of Oberlin College for a number of years and professor of theology there. And Oberlin became part of the escape route for slaves who were fleeing from slavery in the South. Rochester, New York, was massively impacted by the ministry of Charles Finney in 1829, 1830. And as a result of that, Rochester became an escape route, part of the so-called Underground Railroad, an escape route for slaves fleeing from America to go into Canada. So Finney was strong in these things. By the way, Oberlin is a moral mess today, just for your information, and has been for some time. They've kept the radicality, but it has been divorced from Scripture, so it is a moral mess in that sense in many ways. You can find out about Oberlin in A Queer Thing Happened to America in the chapter on campus life today. So Finney had understood that you have to have the gospel first, that if you're going to have moral cultural reformation, it must flow out of the gospel to be truly successful. And he therefore preached and believed in revival, which for him was the return of the church from her backslidings and the conversion of sinners. So the church has changed, the society has changed. Revival first, abolition second. He had some health problems while pastoring in New York City. And one of the remedies that was common in those days was to go out to sea and breathe in sea air. So you'd take an extended trip, a voyage of weeks and weeks and weeks, and you'd be out to sea. And while out to sea, the sea air and the change in environment was supposed to bring health. Well, Finney had a newspaper that was circulated from his church, a weekly publication. And he told the editor, who was very much into abolition, make sure you don't put abolition first. Otherwise, we'll lose our readers and we'll lose our spiritual focus. Do not put abolition first. Put revival first. Well, the guy did the opposite. Finney, while at sea, is overcome with intercession, overcome with an incredible burden to pray, doesn't know what it's for, agonizing, birthing something in prayer, groaning, travailing in prayer. He gets back, finds out what's happened, finds out circulation is down, spiritual life is down. The editor says, why don't you preach a series of messages on revival, which he does, which become the famous revival lectures. And the editor took down Finney's words in longhand, so it wasn't an exact transcription, but Finney felt the transcription was tremendously anointed. That's what got published. Those went out week by week, and the newspaper began to have a tremendous impact on many readers, came out in revival lectures, which have had an impact on readers to this day around the world and helped spark true revival, not hyped up emotionalism, but but true revival has come out of that. Well, not only do you see how prayer helped birth that and the agony of intercession that Finney was in and how it helped birth that, but you also see how the order must be right, that those that of us who long to see social change, if we primarily put our trust in the political system, it will fail. If we primarily put our trust in the economic system, it will fail. If we primarily put our trust in the social system, it will fail. All those systems are important and we must be involved, but our primary trust must be in the Lord and his working. And out of that, out of the gospel, out of revival, societies change. Finney warned that if abolition, if slavery was not overturned through revival, that there would be a national bloodbath. That was his great concern, that the abolition movement would lead to a national bloodbath unless ultimately there was revival that changed the nation. Of course, revival played a part, and it was on the heels of the 1857-1858 revival that the Emancipation Proclamation comes a few years later, that the Civil War takes place as America is shaken. But what could have avoided the bloodshed is one thing only. A national revival movement with massive repentance will come out of prayer. Let's listen as we close today to children praying. We'll play one after the other, clips number 5 and 6.
Thank you, Jesus. Fill it, Lord. May we be smitten by your love, Lord, that nothing else will matter but to how much we love you, Lord. Nothing else will matter. Doesn't matter what nail polish shade you have, what shoes you have, what skateboard you have, what TV, what video. How does my hair look? Is my makeup smeared? Is my shirt too ugly? We'll only worry about if we're drifting away from you. That's what we want. Not toys. Not candy. Not nothing else. We just want you. Satan, you have no authority whatsoever. And we command you, we don't ask you, we command you to release those that you have. Lord, take us deeper. Take us deeper. Take us into the Holy of Holies, Lord. To where it doesn't matter anymore. To where nothing matters anymore. To where we won't care what we look like in front of the whole church, in front of the whole world. We won't care anymore because we'll be so in love with you. Take this deeper, Lord. Oh, take us deeper, Lord. Take us deeper, Lord.
Can we just agree in prayer? God, take us deeper. God, stir our hearts afresh. God, bring that awakening in our own hearts and our own lives that we so long for, that we so need. Lord, we know it's costly. We know it means the whole of our lives on the altar is living sacrifices. But we know that's our place. We know that's where God has positioned us. We know that we live on that altar in fellowship with Jesus. That is our place. God, take us in. Take us deeper. Burn away everything that stands in the way. Make us your people shining in this hour. Bring the awakening. Amen. Well, friends, I hope you've been stirred. If you missed any part of the broadcast, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You can catch it later in the day. And the resources we put together, I truly believe, will help you. And once you get them, feel free to copy them and hand them out to your friends. It's 3 CDs, 36 hours of teaching, 12 hours on each for your MP3 player or your computer. And here's what you have. 12 hours on foundations of prayer, best teaching I've ever done on these subjects. 12 hours on foundations of intercession. 12 hours on how to be led by the Spirit. All 36 hours, postage paid for $30. That's less than half price, but we want to get it into your hands. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, God hears the cries of the righteous. Let the cry rise to heaven from the depth of your being. Let the cry rise to the throne of God from the depth of your soul. The cry for awakening, the cry for revival, the cry for visitation. Our God will not be deaf to your cry. Our God will answer by fire.